I'm going to call this meeting to order. Today is Thursday, February 9th, 2023. It is 5:31 p.m. and this is a meeting of the City of Tucson Citizens Commission on Public Service and Compensation. Can we do roll call, please?
Laura Dent?
Here.
Greg Facey? He will be absent. Jennifer Garcia?
Here.
Nicholas Neary Lang? Absent. Alexa Scholl?
Here.
Augustine Yerkeedy?
Here.
Thomas Warren?
Here.
And with that, we have quorum. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Moving on to item two, approval of the meeting minutes LAR from February 2nd, 2023. I believe we all received these yesterday and have a copy in front of us. Do I have a motion to approve the LAR?
So moved.
Do I hear a second? We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Moving on to item three, review data and develop commission recommendation. So looks like we have some new information in front of us that was provided by the clerk's office relating to the top five populated cities in Arizona and then also cities of comparable sizes in other states. I know we had wanted this information to kind of help guide us. Any thoughts or research that you all did over the past week that you'd like to discuss? Yes.
I just reconfirmed some of it. I looked up budget sizes and, you know, so what are the responsibilities, you know, budget wise, which are huge, you know, meaning responsibilities are huge. I looked up Pima County, and I'm very familiar with the supervisor salaries, and their budget's just a little bit less than the city of Tucson. They're around 1.9 something, and we're over 2. We're about just almost 2.1. And then seeing this tonight, I went ahead and looked up Albuquerque, and their budget's much less than ours. And then I saw the Phoenix numbers, which just personally speaking are more than what I would like to see. And their budget is much less than ours, you know, because they have all the surrounding towns and, you know, the county's almost totally incorporated. So I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, all of those three most comparable, meaning Pima County, because we're right here, but all the budgets are less than our budget.
That's good information. Thank you. Other thoughts or research done that you want to share? Laura, any insights from your last time doing this?
I mean, I would just say that we're obviously behind from comparable cities, but also just like our peers across the state. So I just feel like we've got to do something respectable in order to make sure that like folks that, you know, aren't independently wealthy can do this work. But aside from that, no, I'm just eager to kind of hear where folks are at and discuss further.
Thank you. Hey, Susan, Renee, I have a question. I think last time I had asked if we were able to suggest a formula as opposed to a hard number. I don't know if you guys were able to get any information about that.
We were. So a formula can be established to establish the salary increase recommendation. However, it can lead into future commission years. So it can be a formula that, for example, ties the hands of the future commission in order for them to make an appropriate recommendation. So it can be like your recommendation can be to take the existing salary adjusted for inflation, and that's your recommended increase. However, the recommendation can't be for this formula to be used for in the future as well.
Okay.
Follow-up question about that. Yeah. I mean, the way that I hear that would be that you could make a recommendation around a formula tying it to inflation, but not necessarily like proscribe future councils from or future committees from making that change. Because my understanding is that if you did tie it to inflation, it really wouldn't make sense for that to then stop, you know, 2 years within the future. Does that sound right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm just thinking some sort of formula might help. I mean, because clearly it takes a lot of effort to put together a recommendation that the voters then pass. It's been 20 whatever years. So tying it to some formula allows for there to be some natural increases without having to go back every time to the voters. So I would definitely be interested in including that, just so that we don't get so far behind again, so that there's a commission 20 years from now, you know, having the same problems we are now.
So this commission meets biannually, so whenever the city holds elections, and those happen in odd number of years. So during even number years, the commission doesn't convene and there's no recommendation made. It has happened in the past as well where the commission elects not to give the mayor and council an increase, so that has happened as well.
So, Tom, last time you had said that you would like to see the number be the at least the average wage. Is that what you were saying for the city?
Yes, the average wage that we have in the book, I think it was 50-some thousand.
Yeah, 56.
Right. So that, you know, not that the amount of work and so on is, you know, average.
Yeah.
You know, just dealing with council quite a bit. The responses that the constituents think, the time frame they expect it in, it's not average to me. Anyhow,
how are you?
I read it in the handout
under tab E.
Yeah, city that, you know, posted some of the economic data.
It sounds like the full-time median income versus the general median income, because the median income is just really, unfortunately, quite low because there's a mix of part-time employees and non-workers.
Right. Yeah. And so this was average, though, not median, right? Full-time, right? Is that how I took it? I agree.
So potentially like a number in that range plus some sort of inflation COLA formula?
Yes, and then with the mayor making more than that, and looking at the handout that staff gave us tonight, which is great, I always look at, like, how do we get the votes? And I look, so Phoenix, when I looked up their budget size, I was shocked that it was smaller than ours. But I know that, you know, the whole place is incorporated. You got all these towns run into each other. So, but I think the average voter might think like me, I don't know, that, hey, Phoenix, they're a big place. That's a huge place. So, you know, so if anyone looks it up or they fight us, if they oppose us, and, you know, so they're at 61,599, so it's a little more than I think we should be lower. And I know that's subjective, what I'm saying, so you all might disagree, but I'm also trying to think how we get this passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the consideration, I think there's a lot of factors here. The factor is, you know, relative to the budget, to the decision making, to the median income, what other cities the comparable, and then if our job is to take into consideration whether the voters are going to pass it, then we have to factor that in how much we're going to recommend. Or is our job just to recommend and then just leave it to the voters to decide? So I guess I'm just asking an open question.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels like the general sentiment is that this is long overdue and that we want to see this move forward and voters to approve it, which I'm glad to hear. I feel like that's great.
Since 1999.
Yeah.
There hasn't been an increase, right?
I mean, it's really,
yeah,
it's criminal. So I I do feel like we should be mindful of how the voters are going to receive this package. I do feel very heartened by how close we got in 2021. I think folks recognize and appreciate that this is overdue. And I think hopefully, you know, outside of this body, I would love to continue conversations with this group and other community leaders around how can we raise the profile of this issue, because it continues to be a barrier for anyone that's running for office. I wanted to touch quickly on Tom's point. I agree, just to kind of create some like bumpers for moving the conversation forward. I agree that like Phoenix should be the ceiling. I do think that that's a good point. I like the idea of tying an index to the median earning of a full-time employee in this MSA. I am noticing that it is significantly higher for men than for women. It's $50,769 for men and $41,000 for women. So that's like an awkward campaign slogan. Like, tie it to the full-time man in your region. But I do feel like if we're going with one of those figures, we should lean towards the higher. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. I agree with that.
And more women vote than men. And I'm very sensitive to gender equality, so I couldn't agree with you more. And we might be able to get some more women out to vote for it.
Now, did we establish if our city council is working full-time or part-time?
From what I remember last time, there is no indication that it is one or the other.
Okay.
I think from anecdotally from those who have worked with council members, it tends to be more of a full-time job than a part-time gig. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we had extended the invitation to the mayor and council to attend these meetings if they'd like to share some insight. I think it was Greg had asked for some information, I think it was him, on if we could poll the council members and see if they could provide us with like the average number of hours they're working a week on city-related activities. Okay. Yeah.
Because my concern is just making sure that we are at least paying the minimum wage.
Right.
I've done that calc.
Yeah.
We're not.
Okay.
Right at 24. And what you mentioned, even for part-time, it's
so I just want to, for a point of clarification, on this page that has the different average and median incomes, are we talking about bullet point 2 or bullet point 5 in terms of the council? And that's under tab E for those who are looking in their binder. Yes.
I personally feel it important to reflect the prosperity of the region because that's the reference point that voters are going to be looking at it from. It seems like 2 is the national average, whereas 5 is the Tucson MSA average. So I would lean towards the item 5 number.
Okay. Is number 2, I think, though, the source does say the Tucson MSA at the end there.
It's true.
Because the average and median would be two different numbers.
Not that it means it's right, Laura, but that's where I came up with my number.
Okay, actually, that's better. Okay, great. Then it sounds like 2 would be, I'm not sure. I would feel great about 2.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'm assuming we would want some sort of increase from that 56 for the mayor's position because it's a little bit different set of responsibilities.
Right.
Are we thinking we just want to pick a number? Because for consensus, kind of established that Phoenix is our ceiling. And the Phoenix mayor makes $87,900.
Yeah, I think it depends on what number we all decide on for the council. That's just my opinion. I don't know how everybody else feels. And then we mm-hmm. figure out what the mayor's salary should be. I just anecdotally, I've had some, and some of them don't live in the city, but I've told some folks in real estate and so on, Republicans, a couple developers and all, and some other people, that I was on this commission. And I was trying to get a field, bounce back, if you will, and not say anything. And I couldn't believe the salaries that some of these people threw out, and in a positive way. Like one person said, there's no council person that should make less than $100,000 a year, and the mayor should make $135,000. I mean, he was like blunt, quick, you know. And I had some other people that, you know, aren't Republicans, of course, a lot of my friends. And so far, I haven't had any samples of anyone saying that this shouldn't happen.
Regardless of their personal feelings about the mayor and council.
Yeah, anything. Right. It was no, there was no, yeah, there was no opinion about the mayor and council at all. It was just about the mayor and council salary. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, just throw that out.
So maybe we can try to land, like, are we comfortable with 56,000 flat? Do we want, yeah? Okay. And then with this, with a COLA or inflation formula, which I'm assuming we might need some help with the language on that.
I wonder if we keep it tied to the average, if that kind of eliminates the need mm-hmm. for us to reference the formula as well, which might be a little cleaner in voters' eyes.
Yeah, I like that because from representing the Tucson Metro Chamber and part of this, you know, it's kind of like incentive-based salary. Like, you know, let's increase the prosperity for all our citizens in Tucson, and that in turn helps me. So I think that could be an interesting, I like that a lot. And then maybe we could tie the mayor's to like 1.2 times the average or something like that. So it is a little bit more than the average, but.
Yeah, I like that, Laura, too, a lot. And that, and you know, I was thinking the typical, when you do COLA and these things, you say, oh, 3%, you tie it to inflation, and then you say not to exceed a number, you know, in case you have hyper, you know. But I think, yeah, I really, really like Laura's suggestion. First.
So last year. Yeah, and just to take it. That's our job here. Fire. You know, by a lot. So just have to take into consideration that really big salary increase.
Mm-hmm. I think that speaks, though, to Laura's point about working with community leaders and others to really refine our argument as to why this is a good idea and hopefully convey that to voters as well.
Yeah, provide that.
Mm-hmm.
Call through. I did a little bit. And I found that let me
ask something. Is the justification that we used to arrive at figures, is that a matter of public record to the voters as well?
Yeah, so your final recommendation and report will be printed on the publicity pamphlet, which will be distributed to voters.
So the fact that we're using our justification as the average income for Tucson, that's what would be noted to the voters?
Correct. If that's how you word it in your recommendation, yes.
And I have a question on, and I agree with Augustine completely on some of his comments, but it's going to be on how we get this across. I guess I mentioned that the other day, at last meeting. So the campaign is going to be how we do it. You know, and how does this campaign happen? You know, I co-chaired the police, fire, and roads the first time in the parks. And then last time I was treasurer for the half-cent sales tax continuation in neighborhood streets. And, you know, I learned a lot, you know, about selling way back, and I've worked on other campaigns. But to me, it's going to be how we organize ourselves in the campaign, or how the city does, or however we go about this. I'm really naive. I just don't know the structure, I guess, is what I'm asking, and how we go forward and sell this. Well, we'll be right back to, I think, what Augustine's comments were.
That all happens outside of these meetings. We create a recommendation, move that forward to council, and then at that point, we recruit, you know, people to help either put together a PAC or however, you know, you want to do that structure that way. And I know there was some materials, and maybe we can have someone from the attorney's office come and explain to us in person there's some, I think my understanding is limits is what we can do as representatives of this commission,
right.
You know, electioneering, right. And you have to be careful about that type of stuff. So I think definitely outside of these meetings, a few of us, you know, not to break open meeting law, but we'll need to kind of, if we want to help be part of that campaign, think about what that looks like.
So that's a different group that then gets formed and goes forward. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they want to raise money and that type of stuff, they need to organize a political action committee and those types of, you know.
Which is not part of our purview at all.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
I think the good news is that this body will essentially sunset and give us, I think, more flexibility mm-hmm. to carry on conversations for those that want to be part of them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a logistical question. So once we form a recommendation, which I know we need to do by March 15th, how quickly then does that go to mayor and council for their review and approval?
So it would go to mayor and council mainly for them to take action of establishing a special election to put this issue on the general election ballot.
Okay.
But it goes more so as a formality. So it's not for their review or their approval. If you guys approve to give mayor and council salary increases, the issue goes directly to the ballot. And as far as when they decide to call the special election, it usually happens a couple meetings after March 15th, which is
okay.
The date of the final recommendations.
Okay. So I was just doing some calculations, but so if we, for this year's example, for 2021, the average, you know, wage was 56,000. So if I was thinking for the mayor's position, if we wanted to do like 1.25 times the average wage as kind of the formula for that position, if we wanted to move forward in that formula direction where we're using the average wage as a salary for council, and then I think we all kind of agree that the mayor's needs to be a little bit more. And so one suggestion I have is maybe one and a quarter times the average.
Well, it's so low, this is really not a good number, but I did this sort of the same thing. And today, the mayor makes 43% more.
Yeah.
And but it's on such a low base of 24,000, so it's really, you know, not totally appropriate math-wise.
Yeah, because I think 1.25 times 56 is 70,000.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. That recommendation is justified. However, if you look at going back to my point, if you look at the tendency, I'm putting myself in the place of a voter, mm-hmm. of the average voter. The tendency is to look at a really big increase and say, okay, what are they making now? A really big increase. And then the tendency of the average voter is to reject it. So if our job is just to put the best recommendation forward and then just, okay, leave it up to the voters without any consideration that it's going to be rejected. But I'm afraid if the increase is going to be too high, which may be justified, with all the factors considered, the average voter is just going to automatically reject it. So that just has to, you know, be taken under consideration.
Well, and I think that's where the messaging is going to be very important when we do our recommendation. As your average voter, they don't really know how much our mayor and council mm-hmm. are paid. They just don't. I think they assume that they're making above average wage.
They know what they're. Let me just ask this: in the voter material, it's going to say what their current salary is, right?
Correct. So the ballot language would include their current salary and the proposed salary.
Most voters are going to know what they're making now.
Correct. However, it does state here before that we only are moving up from 42 now this year to 56.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular measure was just barely defeated, just right. barely.
42, so. Well, that was the mayor.
Yes, yeah, I'm talking about with the mayor.
Yeah.
24 to 36, what were we proposing for? 56.
Yeah.
That one will be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
So bring up for council.
In the voter pamphlets, though, there's the opportunity for people to write letters of support, right? And those to be published?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I will just say in terms of last year, because there was this ongoing litigation around the City of Tucson election cycle,
yeah.
this committee didn't convene until like the summer. And so there was very little time for community education conversations or any of that work. So there was some good participation in the publicity pamphlet, but I definitely think there could have been more robust education efforts working with business groups and community organizations to say, this is the baseline that we're at, and this is where we're hoping to be, should voters approve this. So I will just say that it was very narrowly defeated, and there was really not a lot of space for that education effort. So mm-hmm. not that that's what this group is going to be doing, but if we have more time or if there is more time, there's more space for the public dialogue, even though these are very low participation items, unfortunately.
So I think it'd be very important for us to be very succinct in our rationale. So then that way the people who are going to move forward with educating the public have solid reasons why we're suggesting this. Mm-hmm. Because as I'm reading the last time this was done. Honestly, I think the average voter, having seen that our city council members are making under minimum wage, I think that would have been a lot easier sell in the education process, or will be when they see that.
I agree. And, you know, I know you got to watch the meeting laws, but I can't agree with you more about the messaging and how what's formed after our recommendation. And personally, I think our recommendation, whatever we decide, should be our justification should be very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple points.
Agreed.
You know, real simple. You know, like the 401 or 411, real simple. You know, all neighborhood streets, not the other streets, just your street. And, you know, that
mm-hmm.
74% of the vote, right? So I think that's what we, you know, is. I couldn't mm-hmm. agree more with your statement. Yeah. And just those key points. Right. Hopefully, relative to Augustine's comment, which I definitely agree with him, could, you know, make this go awry, is that if it's just a relative, here's what they make today and here's what they're going to make tomorrow, that will cause a problem. We have to justify why
mm-hmm.
the numbers in a very simple way.
Correct. Yeah. Agree.
I see where you're coming from, though. Like, there is, I think, definitely a legitimate argument to be made that, like, do we just do kind of some small incremental increases? But I also feel like we have a responsibility to make a recommendation that we feel is accurately reflects the work that our mayor and council do, even if it's not maybe what's going to be popular. But you know, I think you could really argue it either way.
I think that's a very good point. And I was sort of asking an open question.
Yeah.
It is our job to make the best motivation based on objective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
they should do, the decision-making involved, the budget involved, comparison. You're right. I think you, if our job here is a
okay. So for the next meeting, can you help us put together some language for what this would look like if we're doing a formula-based recommendation where it's the average wage according to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis? And then what are we feeling like for the mayor? Like, how much more beyond do we want that calculation to be?
What did you say previously?
1.25. Mm-hmm. Above the average. For 2021, it was 56,000. So in this scenario, the mayor would then make 70,000. Do more, or we could do less.
I mean, instinctively, I feel like that's a good ratio, and it's a good living wage that also reflects the additional responsibility that the mayor carries over the council. I noticed the like ratio in Phoenix is like 1.4, and that gets the mayor to 80. But I come back to your point about the viability piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally feel really great about the average wage and making that the clear kind of message. I feel like maybe some time to think about this piece, but I tend to agree with the 1.2.
Okay.
I feel like that's a good round number as well, because you know people are going to be like, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
In my everyday,
yeah.
And then we'll have to be able to articulate that
yeah.
dollar amount too.
Yeah.
So I tend to feel pretty good about that.
Okay. Any other thoughts? So for moving forward, if we feel like we're kind of comfortable where we are with moving forward with this formula of the average wage, do we want to start kind of maybe working on our justification and some things that we definitely want to make sure are included in the recommendation? Okay. I think in our notebooks, the last 2 years, there's 2021 and 2022, which is under tab 3 and tab 4. You know, Tom, you were talking about how you kind of did some research on the budgets. I think there's a great bullet point in here about how much the city's budget has increased since the last increase.
Right.
And 2 years ago, it had increased almost 50%. So we're probably over that 50% mark right now. So
right.
I think that's an interesting, we can.
Or the budget when their $24,000 salary was passed, and we could show that budget and then show the budget that now the council mayor are responsible for. Well, just in my head, it's $2,063,000, something like that. So almost $2,000,001. So that we show that ratio of how long ago, and Augustine brought up the date. So what the date was when that was approved, what the budget was when that was approved, and now where the city of Tucson is today. And
so it would have been fiscal year 2000. Can you get the budget, total budget numbers for fiscal year 2000?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. And I think we have the budget here
for this year. It's about $2,063,000 or something. budget that was passed last June. And also, I think that, not even to keep it simple, but I think that we could use the budget of, we could use it not to, gotta be careful here, not to pit the supervisors against the mayor council, Mr. Ortega is doing such a good job with the combined effort now of the county. We could use the budget of the county and show that what the supervisors make, which I think is legitimate, I'd like to see our council make that, but show that and then show what the budget of the city is, and then also equate it to the salaries. And
we can do that. Also, I saw something for Albuquerque. And you know, their mayor makes $135,500. I mean, we're not going to go that high, but I think it might be valid to make comparisons between five cities and say, you know, the mayor and council, sister cities, so that it allows the voter to see a comparison between the cities.
I agree, Augustine. One thing in Albuquerque, I was thinking just like you. And then I looked and I saw the council maker $33,000 a year. And I'm like, is that variance? You know.
And though, I wonder how they're structured. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, it could not be a manager council form of government where the mayor is acting more like a true CEO.
Uh-huh, right.
You know,
and
so
you
that
have the strong mayor structure versus the what do they call the other?
Council manager.
Yeah, council mm-hmm. manager.
Yeah, I also looked at Colorado, and I was thinking Colorado Springs is more of our sister city in Colorado. And the mayor makes $103,000 a year. However, the council makes only a $6,000 a year stipend.
So it must be more like that.
More like a CEO structure.
Yeah.
On the side, it would be very interesting to really know the local politics, to know how much influence the council members have at all. Right. Or here, they have a lot of influence.
So just for clarity, are we right now kind of crafting the considerations and rationale component? Or?
Yeah, we're just kind of brainstorming what we want to make sure is captured in that.
Got it. Okay. I mean, I like the kind of like snippets that can be really like easily rattled off, like the
bullet points. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the fact that, you know, they make less than minimum wage and this would cost, you know, citizens 15 cents a year. Those sorts of things I feel very accessible.
We're asking for our council to make the average wage in Tucson.
Yes. I think that's honestly the number one bullet. Highlight, underlined, like that message, it feels really clear. I did want to just name, I do feel it's important for us to reiterate the full-time component.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's this persistent narrative in the community that these are part-time positions. And there's nothing, you know, in the charter or what we've like reviewed historically, based on the conversations we had 2 years ago, that represents that. So I think it's a good effort for us to like just keep pushing, like this is a full-time job,
right? And I had noticed that the very first bullet point was Tucson mayor and council serve in a full-time capacity. I feel it would have hit a little bit harder if it said current salary structure or not, I'm sorry, not that one, that the that they are not making minimum wage. Yes. I think if that would have followed instead of the not received a salary increase, I think if it would have just said they are not even making minimum wage, would have hit harder for that one.
Yeah. You know, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that narrative works. It almost is like this like negative loop where the council members don't make enough. So several of them have other jobs, which then makes it seem like it's part-time because they're also doing other jobs, but really they're just trying to make enough money to live. Mm-hmm. So it's like this narrative that's just working against itself because of the situation. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be something we need to stress. And I'm hoping we can get some data from their offices so that we can say that average council member in the city of Tucson is working 60 hours a week or whatever numbers they provide us. I think that would be insightful.
The other supporting rationale that I think
we should also stress is about the current salary structures preventing working class Tucsonans from seeking these positions. As a longtime Tucson resident, I feel like we have these career council members. And I don't think that's different from a lot of us that have been here for a very long time, because you see these faces on council and you're like, oh, they've been there forever. And I want to see fresh blood, and I want these salaries to be comparable to other cities, because we don't want to lose our good talent or our good citizens that feel like they don't have a voice here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think a good way to frame that too is like what this increase will do for the citizens, not what it will do for the mayor and council.
Right.
It will provide you the opportunity to actually consider running for public office.
Yeah.
It will provide you with a better pool of candidates. It will talk about just things it will do for the voter, mm-hmm. not so much like this person should get a raise, so why don't you give them a raise?
I think that.
Right.
More than a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, just speaking as somebody who's just graduated out of the program at the U of A, a lot of my cohorts are hightailing it out of Tucson. They feel it's not viable for them to serve in Tucson. And so they go up to Phoenix. They move to Albuquerque. I've seen some go out to the federal level. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to be able to keep that talent and that knowledge pool here in Tucson.
Yeah, one of my good friends, former supervisor, used to say, who has a very good degree from the University of Arizona, he used to say, what we do is we export education. Mm-hmm. We educate and then export.
That's correct. So, Jesus, in years past, who develops this recommendation? Like, is this something that maybe that you guys put together, or is it something that, I as the chair should kind of start drafting, and like, how does that work?
It's varied in the past. Recently, what typically takes place is you guys establish a recommendation, which I think you guys reached a good number right now. And then we start drafting the recommendation based on your considerations and stuff like that. And we bring it forward for the next meeting for you guys to consider and kind of work through it at that point.
Okay.
Do we have the right to then advise mayor and council with you all, the staff, then this is what we want to see?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and I agree with Laura that, you know, I always call it, people call it the elevator speech or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, when you're trying to, I don't know, on those bond issues and so on, I co-chaired, I think that simple is better and direct, and maybe no more than just five strong bullet points, boom. And, you know, and then we go from there, you know, after we're dissolved. Then whoever picks it up can run it. But instead of like a lot of prose, a lot of writing, you know, just really strong bullet points, like, you know.
I agree with you, Tom. And I would love to actually see what the language the voter is going to see, because this memo is going to be sent to council and a small fraction of folks like ourselves mm-hmm. are maybe going to see it, but the voters will not see it. So the language that the voters are going to consider is like the actual language on the ballot. And I would love if we can see what that looked like in 2021 and be able to even frame it. Like, for example, all these recommendations are put in monthly terms. I don't think any of us think about what we make a month. I think we think about what we make an hour or what our annual salary mm-hmm. is. So I would love if we can take a look at that and make recommendations in that vein.
Okay. So
And maybe the justification for mayor and council has to be a little longer prose, but also I'm asking, I don't know, can we, because the other things were just so different than this, as far as the procedure process, but can we then say we would like to see these five bullet points on the ballot?
So the ballot language is drafted by the city attorney, and there are some restrictions that derive from the charter on what can and can't be included. But we can definitely invite one of the attorneys to be present at one of our future meetings, and they can speak more about this if you guys are interested.
Yes, please.
Great idea.
Like absolutely.
You like that, Alexa?
Can we get the ballot language for the last 2 years?
Yes, absolutely. We'll provide that via email so you can have it more readily before the next meeting.
I'm asking Alexa, then you'd like to invite the city attorney once we kind of get our draft to come in. And so,
yeah.
Great. That's great.
And then I think we can also ask questions then, like, outside of this commission, what can and can't we do in terms of helping the campaign for this? Mm-hmm. So I think that'd be good, because I know there's some material in here, but legal memos are not easily readable.
Right.
For the layman.
And we're not allowed to say certain things and talk to certain people.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because I have a tendency to think, and I may be totally wrong, that we're not allowed to campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That our job is to simply put forth a recommendation and then say, okay, let the voters decide. Give the justifications for our recommendations and then let the voters, as far as campaigning, I think we have to be careful, but that's my opinion.
Is there any limitation to how we can, or if we can be available at some of these community education events? Can we be there?
Yeah, there was.
You mean after we're dissolved? We're dissolved, right? No. Yes. So we have to ask the city attorney, since we're on this committee, can we then, once we're not on this committee, because there is no committee, can we then campaign?
And you can. So after the committee dissolves, you can campaign as a formal member of the committee and everything. It just can't be as a commission as a whole. But once the committee dissolves, yes.
We're writing the letters of support for this. We can do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So at our next meeting, will we have like some language in a document like this to review, or?
Yeah. So based on the preliminary recommendation, we can start drafting the final recommendation, and we wrote down some of the justifications and suggestions you guys were giving us. So we'll draft it. We can even display it on the screen, and we could kind of work through it together if that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
And then we'll get some more information about budget from the year that this was passed, or the last increase was passed. Anything, any other data that you feel like you guys need to help inform your decisions?
No, it's legal. I think you asked for it, Alexa. It's legal to get what was said on the ballot, what was said on the campaign pieces.
Yeah.
Is that's legal? We can just review those, right? Because that was public, right? Okay.
And just for a point of clarification, the invite for the city attorneys to come, would you like that done after the recommendation is more finalized, or did you want that for the next meeting?
Yeah, I think we need a few more meetings to fine tune, but I do think we might need help on the language for how we're framing, because we're not giving you a hard number as our recommendation. It's going to like how that should be worded.
Okay. And we can reach out now and say, you know, this is what the commission is envisioning. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts and recommendations, and kind of go from there. Okay. We'll do that.
Could we lean into, I like the idea of a round number.
Mm-hmm.
Could we lean into like the 56,000 as like the most closely correlated average, and then kind of make that the forward facing recommendation? I kind of am like just of the philosophy of like, let's make our recommendation to the attorneys and then see what they say. Sometimes we get like a lot of different ideas and opinions. But I love the idea of the like alignment with the average, and think that if we can lean into the round number, I kind of think that that's a little more accessible for people.
Okay.
But I don't think it's a huge idea, huge important, but
An easier sell and not complicated. Boom, boom. Right. The average salary is this, $56,000, right?
Okay. I feel like we made some good progress tonight.
Yeah.
And next week we'll have something kind of tangible to start looking through. And in the meantime, if you do need anything, you know, make sure to reach out to Jesus and Renee. And hopefully Nico and Greg, we did all the work. We didn't, what the heck, they missed it all. Just kidding.
Beating us. I feel like this was so productive and yeah.
It's great. Exciting. Okay. Well, I think we will adjourn at 6:21.
Thank you. Thanks, staff. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Oh, okay.
No. Like a